what it takes. She said, I'll turn you on sun into something strong, playing a song with the foggy break. Engelgard Mozart was checking out the weather chart, see if it was safe outside. And little early birdie came by in his curly whirly and asked me if I needed a ride.
In August 23, the board gave us some direction to bring back some changes, revise this ordinance so that we could talk about adequate parking. And in August of 23, we had a PAC meeting and started that discussion. In November of 23, we had a second PAC meeting, and I wanted to give you this background for how much public input we've had through this process.
So this is the voice of Joy Blackman. She's the engineer for Escambia County, giving a presentation to the Board of County Commissioners on Thursday about the parking ordinance changes and, you know, even talking about getting information from a very special, highly reliable source.
Coincidentally, February 13, Sheriff Simmons did an interview with Andrew McKay, and he confirmed that he gets daily calls, just as the commissioners had pointed out. I think the chairman pointed that out. And he gets daily calls confirming that there's problems with parking in the area, and it's with single family as well as apartments.
And so, you know, I remember having that conversation with the sheriff because the Board of County Commissioners had been saying that this was something that had taxed sheriff's office resources quite a bit. And, you know, they made a claim. I wanted to make sure and check the claim. And, you know, Sheriff Simmons said, yeah, it really is an issue. And by the way, the backdrop to all of this, if you're not familiar, is the horrible situation with the student apartments on University Drive between Nine Mile and the campus, UWF, where they just did not do it right. They put up buildings, they built beds and dorm style, you know, or apartment style housing, and they just had a very small number of parking spaces. And there's all kinds of, you know, speculation about who really dropped the ball in this, but the practical consequence of it is that the people who live in those apartments are parking on University in areas that will eventually be developed if the owners of those land spots wanted to develop them, up on the sidewalk, on the side of the road, or towards the little bit of the forest area on the side of the road. It's a mess. It's not safe. It's not safe for the people who walk or ride bikes through there or walk dogs through there, for the students who have to, you know, walk quite a ways at dark at night in that area, especially with cars coming in. And I mean, it's a mess, okay? But we've all, you know, seen neighborhoods, you know, the last time I remember we talked about this, you know, Jake was mentioning that, you know, delivering food, you know, in a neighborhood, you find places where it's just, it's very unsafe because there's so many cars parked in the street. And, you know, what needs to be done in order to make it so that we have adequate parking for the people who live in an area that do not create a safety problem because there's not space enough for that. And so Joy Blackman's got a, you know, they went back and forth with the planning board, I think, over, you know, this and, you know, industry representatives, of course, and members of the public. And they came up with a new formula for increased parking requirements when you build new construction.
So here we are today suggesting that, proposing that, rather, that every single family home should have at least three parking spaces. And if there are more than three bedrooms in that home, we should have four. And a multifamily, which being condos or apartments, should have a minimum of two parking spaces per unit and one plus for every additional bedroom over two. In other words, every three bedrooms should have three, four bedrooms should have four. Also, we also made a modification to add in the dorm style so that they would have one space per bed, not bedroom, but per bed, because sometimes they double up.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you know, it doesn't really help much if you have a dorm style, a dormitory style, and they've got, you know, 30 or 40, like in a, you know, fraternity or something like that, need one per bed. You know, bedroom does not really help because the room is full of beds, and they're full of people, and they're full of car needers, and, you know, then you have the problem with parking. So if you have a house, it used to be two per house. You got a two-bedroom house, it used to be two per house. Now it's three parking spaces. That includes a garage if you have one. Okay, but there's a lot of houses in Escambia County, I will tell you, because we bike, right, all over the county. We biked a whole of Escambia County. We biked almost all of Santa Rosa County. You know, I will tell you, there's a lot of places where there's no garage at all, and there's probably one space in the driveway. Then there are places where they had a garage and then they made it into a Florida room or whatever, you know, and so they still have just one space. Or, you know, they have a single car garage and space in front of that. Well, that's two. This is off-street parking, right? You can't count the street, okay? And so that would not be enough. You got to have three. Now, the problem is that there's a lot of times when, you know, you live by yourself in a house and you have one car. You don't need three. Even if you're married and you've got kids that are under 16. Even if you both drive, that's two, not three. But then what happens when, you know, you got six kids? They're all old enough. Well, you know, when they start to be that age, they start to no longer live there, right, at a certain point. So they grow up, they get cars, they move out. But, you know, they said, look, three minimum, or if you have four bedrooms or five bedrooms, it becomes a four minimum. Like our house, you know. Right now we have one driver, one who's kind of learning very slowly. Like he's nowhere close to getting his driver's license. And one who's not. So we have a four-bedroom house, and we have three cars. But, of course, we have a three-car garage. You know, that was that we had. And we actually keep our cars in our garage. Most people do not. So it's kind of an odd one where, you know, most people don't even use it that way. But you can count that as part of your requirement. Two-family dwelling, like a duplex, two per dwelling unit. Multifamily, two per unit plus one for additional bedrooms over two bedrooms. The theory being that, you know, in a house, you don't typically run as much risk of people renting, which is, you know, each bedroom has a person in it. Whereas in an apartment complex or something like that, it's a much more likely. So here's the thing. They had this big conversation about this. And basically, you have two competing views of this issue. View number one says public safety, let's get them off the street. This creates a problem, and we're worried about things like university. We don't want that to happen again. The other view is a sort of a hybrid view of two positions. Position number one is cars are kind of bad. We shouldn't really have a lot of cars. We should have more walkability and bikeability, and the more you make things for cars, the worse you make it for the world, because that's pavement, that's impervious surface. That means when you have storms, you have water runoff, and you got to accommodate that, and that's more of a problem. And, you know, look around. There's lots of vacant parking all over the place, whether it's a, you know, requirement that you have so many spaces for the Walmart or the Sam's Club. Well, those, you know, generally do not fill up. I mean, even up in US 29, that Walmart, still, there's still spaces, maybe not a lot of surplus spaces, but, you know, you go to Creighton, you go to Mobile Highway. I mean, you know, those Walmarts, there's always massive empty parking spaces, right? And so the argument is, number one, you're creating a bike-unfriendly, walk-unfriendly environment. Number two, you're creating problems by creating parking when it comes to runoff, and it's wasted, this sort of too much emphasis on avoiding the parking problems on the street leads to too many parking spaces and therefore wasted space, but also three, cost. This drives up the cost of housing at a time when people are trying to be able to afford housing. And so, you know, it's not just the pouring of the concrete that makes it more expensive, but you're going to have bigger pad for the driveway. Therefore, you're going to have wider lots. Therefore, you have fewer lots in development. Therefore, the houses are going to cost more, because in order to recoup their money, the builders are going to have to build, you know, charge more money, essentially, because they're giving you more land. And there's not as much, you know, they can't reduce the per unit cost of putting in infrastructure like storm drains and electrical and all that kind of stuff. So costs, again, kind of wind up being high. So you have this sort of philosophical fight between the two camps. And, you know, Mike Kohler from District 2, he says,
I'm lukewarm on this. I'll be honest. Whenever the government gets involved and it starts to make assumptions that four bedrooms have four cars and three bedrooms have three cars, my mom and dad had two head spot, and we had four bedrooms in our house and we only had two cars. So, but you're right. What's happening out on University Parkway is obviously can be a situation. When we make public policy that, for a whole county based on isolated situations, I'm not sure we should be doing that.
And I'm very sympathetic to that point of view, because clearly, and especially led by Stephen Barry, I always forget where the exact district lines are, but I believe UWF is in his, he always drives there. Maybe it's the district four. I just always forget. It's right on the border between the two. Anyway, he's very worried about the stuff on University Parkway. And by the way, future growth, which I think is a fair concern. You know, what's going to come eventually as the university gets bigger? You know, we want to have enough. You know, we don't want to have this happen again at UWF. But at the same time, there's something kind of overreacty about making these broad, sweeping rules primarily for the purpose of avoiding what happened at UWF again when you're applying that to the rest of the county. And even because you have some places where the housing is for, let's be honest, people who don't have cars because they're poorer. And do you require parking for 3 cars per dwelling unit if you're getting, you know, just the bare bones minimum single family dwelling? And you're requiring now 3 parking spaces for people who already cannot afford houses, let alone multifamily dwelling. I mean, it's a certain lens through which you look at housing that requires you to have cars there. And, you know, for example, it's interesting because Lumen May was making the argument, Christian May, who's a builder, you know, in his regular job. And he says, look, it's, you know, not up to us to make sure that the builder can make money or that, you know, they can make a profit. That's up to them to come up with a creative solution for that. Yeah, but if you make rules that make it more expensive to build houses, then you make it harder for people to get houses and you make it so that our affordable housing problem becomes or stays a problem. So I wish they would have given a little bit more consideration to the idea of like maybe certain zones. I mean, around UWF really makes sense. But does it make the same amount of sense everywhere else in the county? Probably not. You know, so, and this is one of the things, I think my takeaway, they voted yes. They voted yes with these new parking restrictions, by the way. So they did change it. But for me, I guess this is why you want to have a committee of the whole. Okay, you have a committee of the whole because it's a chance to really talk about this stuff and to really consider the alternatives. And we haven't had a committee of the whole in almost 2 years. Committee of the Whole is a it's not a voting meeting. It's where you get together and talk about issues and just kind of workshop. And you typically it's built to handle concerns like this, where you're not quite sure what you want to do exactly, and you want to get a lot of input, and you want to consider a lot of ideas, and you want to brainstorm a little bit, and you want to get presentations from subject matter experts. You know, building community comes and represents themselves, and then engineers come and talk, and you know, you really can consider it all. Then when you come back to a meeting like this, and I'm not saying a lot of work hasn't been done behind the scenes, it absolutely has, but the reason you have committees of the whole is exactly so that you can consider all of this stuff and somebody can raise the idea, you know, do we need to solve this for the whole county? Can we maybe make a mile perimeter around UWF or within certain geographic boundaries near UWF where this makes more or less sense? Or are there areas where, you know, certain zip codes, the average income is low enough that you don't have to have 3 cars per house. So those are the kind of things that justify having a committee of the whole. I don't know that I honestly, this is hard for me. I don't know whether I would have voted against this or not. I think what they probably did was a mistake. I'm not super critical of them on this one because I understand what they're trying to avoid. But I tend to side with Mike Kohler on this and say that this is an overreaction to a couple of very particular problems. And, you know, while some parts of this might make more sense than others, for example, the multifamily dwelling and the dorm style, I think those make a lot of sense. But the single family residential, that one, it seems like too much. It seems like that's going to be really prohibitive, especially for people at the lower end of the housing spectrum to be able to get into housing in the first place, because just what this does in terms of the impact on the ability to develop property into homes that are affordable. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and installation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, save 35% on New South Window's products and installation.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Quiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
What are you, blind, McFly?
You are the sunshine of my life. That's why I'll always be around.
I found like 40 songs for today.
I was impressed on how many you came up with, actually.
Well, okay, so what I can't remember is I did this back in 2017 because, you know, it's not the first time we've had an eclipse. But back in 2017, I had made a bunch of bumpers for eclipse-related music, and even I could not remember if I had come up with them. Some of them are pretty obscure grabs. I mean, I might have had some internet help or something like that because, you know, even as I was playing through them last night, oh, that's a good line. I didn't even remember that was in that song. So lots of music and, of course, related to the eclipse today. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, on the eclipse topic, apparently it's expected to put quite a bit of money into the economy. Millions of people are preparing to travel to witness the eclipse in the path of totality. And apparently it's forecast to bring over a $1.5 billion economic impact to the areas that are in that path of totality.
We have friends that are going to Texas where it's going to be cloudy.
Ooh.
Yeah, uh-oh.
That's a trip of regret.
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe the cloud cover is okay. Maybe it's bright enough that it, you know, comes. I mean, who knows? What do we got? About 155 for us is the peak of it. Although it's going to be hard here to tell that it's the peak because we don't get totality. It'll be like 71% coverage, now 72% coverage, now 73%, and 72%. It's not going to be that dramatic moment, you know what I mean?
President Biden will be in Wisconsin today. He's announcing some new student loan forgiveness programs. That announcement comes, of course, after his previous student loan debt program was stopped by the Supreme Court a year ago. And apparently country music star Morgan Wallen's got a bit of a wild side. He was arrested last night. He threw a chair, apparently, from a rooftop bar in Nashville. There were some police officers standing on the sidewalk. They say the chair crashed down just a couple of feet in front of them. So he's facing reckless endangerment charges.
Reckless endangerment. Yeah, that's the charge. Wow, that's scary stuff. Okay. David, was that it, sir?
That's all I've got
perfect.
For now.
Thank you so much for the update. 529 on News Radio 92.3. I'm going to wind up being a liar. I didn't mean to be, but, you know, it happens. Remember we were talking the other day about how I'm not going to be looking at, you know, too risky, too much. So I've actually got an ophthalmologist who's going to be on the show at 6:35 this morning. And we're going to talk about all the questions related to, like, how it damages your eyes, what the risks are, how to be safe. And then I remembered that last night, I remembered, oh, my God, I think I've got some of these glasses laying around from 2017. And I went looking through my closet. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure enough, found four pair. And, you know, I put them on and you can't see anything. Which means that they're probably right. But I'm going to ask him, how can you know, right? But I was thinking about, like, you know, having the sun blocked out is kind of a cool thing. I don't know if I'm going to sit there and stare at it. But I will. I had said I wouldn't because I didn't care. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, I'll probably look. If I've got the glasses, I probably will look.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. People have been waiting for days. It's almost here.
You got the glasses, that's for sure.
That man in Dallas ready to witness the sun disappear behind the moon today during the total solar eclipse that moves across Mexico and 15 U.S. states. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has just a few hours left to hand over materials related to the president's classified document drama or face a possible contempt of vote in the House. President Biden will land in Madison, Wisconsin today to pitch yet another attempt to wipe out billions of dollars in student loan debt. And House Republicans will deliver articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate on Wednesday.
This is an executive branch agency head who is really defying the law, defying the two other branches of government.
Florida Republican Congresswoman Laurel Lee speaking to Fox News. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. It's News Radio 92.3. It's a nice morning, 63 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Well, negotiations on the sale of the OLF 8 property in to developer Beulah Township LLC may be on the verge of falling apart, if last week's commission meeting is any indication.
I'd like you to be open and frank with us and give us a fair deal, and if you do, I'll be on board.
Well, we think we've done that. You know, we've done it multiple times now. And, you know, you got to think, you can run these numbers, but our number to, after we pay the $20 million for the property, we're projecting another $28 million for the roads, the infrastructure, the things to get that property ready for vertical construction.
That exchange between District 2 Commissioner Mike Kohler and Fred Hemmer, Commission Chairman Stephen Barry also hinted he'd be okay with welcoming other offers. That sentiment from the board is that the top line offer is still a bit too low. They believe there's still concerns over contractual language as well. Hemmer also mentioned during negotiations that there'd been multiple occasions where they were ready to walk away, but county staff had brought them back. Well, persistence being credited with saving a child who was found unresponsive in Okaloosa County. The sheriff's office says a three-year-old was pulled from a pool at a home in Crestview on Saturday. Thanks to first responders at the scene and others at the hospital, that child ended up being revived after being unresponsive for an hour. Lieutenant Tony Kelly tells Channel 3 that he's never seen such a large group of medical professionals work so diligently for such a long period of time without losing hope or will. Escambia County deputies have arrested one of the people involved in that big brawl on Easter Sunday at Englewood Park. 43-year-old Shanette Robinson was taken into custody Friday. Investigators say a deputy had responded to that scene where hundreds of people were gathered and was attempting to arrest a young woman involved in a fight when...
And then as he's trying to get her cuffed, Shanette Robinson, in a bit of a punk move, attacks him from behind.
This is the
striking
mom
him,
who was initially
the mother,
trying to pull
who was initially,
the daughter away. Okay.
That's correct. So... and then another deputy
attacks
shows
him, you said
up.
Punched him from behind?
Punched him from behind, yeah. Just reaches around and attacks him from behind. As he's leaning over, trying to detain
the daughter. Okay.
Again, a 100% punk move on her part.
And that's Sheriff Chip Simmons. He told News Radio about that incident last week. Robinson is now charged with battery on a law enforcement officer and resisting arrest. Deputies are still searching for 16-year-old Taikita Jackson. A third person involved, 17-year-old Tania Jackson, was also arrested on aggravated battery charges. Well, the week off to a good start for SpaceX. They launched a Falcon 9 rocket at the Kennedy Space Center last night. The Bandwagon 1 mission consists of 11 spacecrafts from countries and companies around the world. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to be seeing a nice cloudy day today. Temperatures warming up near 75 degrees. Clouds could be around as we do have our partial solar eclipse for northwest Florida, about 75% coverage, starting around 12:35 this afternoon, peak for us around 1:55. As you head into the evening, we are going to be seeing temperatures drop near 66 degrees. Cloudy on Tuesday with a high near 75 and a low Tuesday night near 67. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 63 in Pensacola, 63 also in Gulf Breeze, and a little bit cooler, 57 in Milton. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Procter & Gamble has recalled more than 8 million bags of Tide, Gain, Ace, and Ariel laundry detergent packets sold in the U.S. due to a defect in the product's child-resistant packaging. Safety regulators said the outer packaging, meant to prevent easy access to the liquid laundry detergent, can split open near the zipper track, posing serious risks to children. The impacted detergents were sold at major retailers, including Walmart, Target, CVS, and Amazon. The FAA is investigating a Southwest Airlines flight that was forced to return to Denver International Airport after an engine cowling fell off a Boeing 737-800 and struck a wing flap during takeoff. The plane did safely make it back to the gate, and customers on the flight were put on another plane. Southwest Airlines and Boeing have both said maintenance teams are reviewing the aircraft in response. Futures are little changed. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 307. That's your money now.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Milton native Carly Ryan, who's been around music her entire life. In fact, her parents were performers, made her choice to pursue a career in music a no-brainer. She performed an original called Give Me Back My Heart on American Idol in 2019, and you can see her this week at Bands on the Beach.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
At this time, I'd also like to memorialize into the record. Over 2.5 years ago, I was asked, is the 401A local plan legal? I was here at the meeting. I responded, it is illegal. My counsel reported it is illegal. On April 3rd, Judge Stone entered into an order of which I will read the ruling.
This was Pam Childers talking to the county commissioners on Thursday at the meeting, explaining that you lost, sirs. I was right, you were wrong, the plan was illegal. Oh, also, you're going to have to give all the money back because that's the next step in this, and telling them please don't appeal, which is also a good piece of advice. They didn't take any action at that meeting. Part of the 0-for-4 in legal things that happened over the last week or so. And we talked to Pam on Friday about all of this. Pam Childers is the clerk of the court in Escambia County and also the comptroller for the county. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, Pam.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. I'm getting so many texts in from people who are so glad that you are challenging the mistakes that the commissioners are making and not just being a rubber stamp on what they do. So, and I feel the same way. Like, somebody's got to be a check on some of their bad decisions. So people really appreciate that you're standing up and doing what's right.
I agree. It was the right thing to do. It's not always the easiest thing to do because, you know, it's an uphill battle. You know, I'm married to an attorney. I know they're expensive. So you've got the cost in it. And then it breaks down relationships. And what the people need is good government. So this was hard on everyone.
Yeah, and it's, you certainly, I'm sure, as a participant, but also as an onlooker, you know, why can't we all just get along and be smarter? But, you know, that sometimes people don't allow you that option exactly. You went to court to prevent, and they went to court. Well, they went to court to force you to pay, and you, of course, responded and said, no, I won't. The judge sided with you so strongly that he even wrote, it would be absurd to conclude that the county was right in taking the position that they have taken in this regard. People have raised the question of, why would the county be the one suing you? It seems like the individual commissioners would be the ones suing you. Did that seem weird to you that the county was doing it?
We grappled with that, too. And the repayment is a different situation, I know, and you may have some questions on that.
I do.
But it crossed my mind way too many times. Why are the people, why is Escambia County government suing me for three people? And it's how it was explained to me. They are commissioners, the county, they represent the board, the county, and that's how that lawsuit was filed. The writ of replevin is another one.
Right.
I don't agree. I think this is personal. And it's now personal, right? We have gotten to the point where it's unauthorized compensation. We've gotten to the point where it's personal.
Well, and, you know, it's kind of interesting you mentioned the replevin suit. I've been telling this morning about how in the last week we've just had, they're 0-for-4 on lawsuits. They lost the preliminary on the replevin. They lost the medical examiner just comes back and says, which wasn't their lawsuit, but, you know, they had kind of been involved in all of this. And Deanna Oleski's exonerated. Ramey Edler, they're voting a $950,000 settlement from the insurance company, the former medical director. And then your case, it's a lot of losing lawsuits kind of all coming to fruition right in the same place. And I don't know. It just, as a county resident, I hate for any of this to be going on. It's sort of a, why can't we just be smarter, you know?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It is tough to watch. I am independent. I don't answer to the comptroller or to the county commissioner. As the comptroller, I do try to advise. I try to be there when they want to talk because I'm the financial expert for the county. I'm not an attorney, but I have an attorney, and sometimes collaboration and going through things is the smarter way to do it. We just could not get collaboration on this 401A, despite my attempts to ask.
So on this going forward, you last night in the county commission meeting said, look, I'm asking for you guys to return the money, and I'm also asking you for that you don't appeal this ruling. What does happen now? Because if they got money into these accounts during the time, and particularly Robert Bender, you know, you were the comptroller then, and that those payments were allowed or authorized on a plan that has now been deemed to be illegal. I mean, do they have to give those back? I know that's what you asked for. Could you be liable for, I mean, if they went after you to get the money, what happens now?
Let's start with what happens now, because that's the easiest, and let's see if I can roll through this. What happens now is I made a public request, and I made that public request because they at one time in a meeting said, if it's illegal, we'll pay it back.
Oh,
so
okay.
First of all, you want your commissioners to be honorable, right? That's why you voted them. You voted them in to represent your best interest, the best interest of government. It's not really what's happened here, but now we're at the next phase. Pay it back. So the right thing is to ask publicly, and they should work together to pay it back. The next thing that will happen is they will get a letter from me personally to them, from the comptroller to them personally, that says you need to pay it back and the reasons why. We need to give a period of time. It does not have to be long. A period of time to start making movement. If there's no movement, if there's no interaction, if there's no cooperative response, you go to the courts. The courts have already deemed this illegal compensation.
Yeah.
And if this continues, you can go all the way to this is stolen money. You know, what do you do with any vendor that you overpay? The county always works with the vendor or the employee that was overpaid to get that money back. You end up in a contractual agreement, you withdraw it from their pay, or you get with the vendor and you get the money back. We're in that situation. And what happens when they don't pay it back? In this case, we're talking about a large sum of money. In this case, you would go to the courts.
Now, that money,
the courts have rules.
Yeah, if you recovered it, that money would, what, go to FRS? I mean, because it would have been going to FRS had it, you know, that's the part of this I don't understand either is, what if they try to, you know, get sort of back participation in FRS for all of these years? Because the money doesn't really belong to the county. They would have been paying out the same amount either way, right?
Okay, so first of all, let's take the first thing. First of all of the money has to come back to the county treasury.
Okay.
The principal and any interest and the account has to be closed down.
Got
because
it.
The 401A for elected officials closes out. That comes back to the county treasury. Second step, they individually or they collectively with the help of probably Allison Rogers County attorney will need to get back into FRS if they choose. It is FRS or their managing agency, Department of Management Services. That agency will look at the rules and decide how many years and how much and if they can.
Okay.
So they have to wait for DMS. So when DMS does that calculation and they are allowed to go back for those service years, then, okay, I agree. They're allowed that pension for that service years. But first of all, they don't get that until we get all the money, period, right? I have the checkbook. That's how it's going to work. They understand this. Secondly,
yeah.
You know, if we don't have the money, we just hold out until we get the money. I'm trying to find my train of thought on the other question.
No, that's okay. And I was going to ask something else, or I asked something else about the appeal as well. But I think I had also asked you'd made the request of them not to appeal because the judge was very, very definitive, and that would take up more resources and time and delay getting things done properly, right?
Right. But I'm going to go back and answer your other part of that question. You asked about FRS and the money would all go to FRS.
Yeah.
I want you to understand something. If the same or similar amounts of money go from a 401A and, well, it costs the taxpayers the same amount of money, whoever thinks that is obtuse. They just plain don't get it. If you're a commissioner, you should understand this. If you are a budgeting person in Escambia County, you should understand this. Because we have debt on our books for all of the future payments, pensions that are assigned to Escambia County through the FRS, the majority of the money that goes to FRS when we pay, buy back the service, will go down to pay that debt. And if you don't use this money to do it, you're going to have to dip into another account at the county and pay it. So you start feeling this pain when you are budgeting, because your salary amount per person and the benefits keep going higher because you are systematically paying down that debt. So please understand, while the dollars may look similar, they are absolutely not the same. And the judge understood that very well.
Okay, see, I had not understood that. So I appreciate you telling me I'm obtuse. And seriously, I appreciate that because I had only been thinking about, well, the numbers are the same, so the cost is the same. But if you're saying that the money that goes to FRS that doesn't go into their personal accounts actually will come back to us to service the debt or the obligations created for the employees that we're going to have to pay this to. So it really is a loss for the county. That is a slice of this puzzle that I had not understood until, you know, the last 60 seconds or so. So thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate it. Last thing I wanted to ask you. Yeah, and I always try. You brought up something last night that was kind of a, as you said, a side item, but your ability to access the OpenGov software, which your people had before and need in order to do things like auditing and controlling, I assume, comptrolling. Why don't you have that? What happened? I don't understand why that would even be an issue.
Well, I didn't see you asking this question. let's see. I don't want to make this drama. There's just some things that need to stay inside the walls of government.
Okay.
However, this is pretty serious. There was a conversation with my internal auditor and the county, and we'll just leave it at the county, and their reaction by 4 o'clock was to cut off all of our access. And this is where we get documents to do our pre-audit function. You know, let's look at the bids. Let's look at the tally sheet. This is what we have to look at, especially in contracts, large contracts, construction bids. So you just whacked off our ability to audit. So now we're constantly having to ask for documents. They're trying to drop it in file. It's missing documents, and it's just taking so much time. And I know what happens. Then you're like, never mind, just don't worry about it. Just don't pay it. No, that's not who we are. So we should have access to that. They have access to our systems. We have access to their systems. This is transparency in government. This is oversight. This is working together. So I made a public plea because I have asked privately, and this is needed. So that's why I made a public plea.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like, you know, Wes was, you know, willing when Mike Kohler kind of followed up on that to ask him if they were willing to turn that access back on. And, you know, I didn't mean to get into all the drama of it, although, you know, sometimes I do. But in this case, I just didn't know what the actual story was. So thank you for clarifying. Oh, I knew there was one other thing in my 14-part question that I asked you. Do you worry at all that they would try to, I mean, we seem to be lawsuit happy, that they might, the county commissioners would try to sue you because you're the one who authorized the payments when it was an illegal plan all the years before you realized that it was an illegal plan?
I'm sure there's some naysayers out there, people beating their chest. Oh, Pam Childers should pay this. You know, I don't know. I don't have a word for them. I probably do have a word for them, but I won't say it. They just don't understand. They're just not real smart. They don't get it. They're just emotional. They're just, you know, they're just short on intelligence. The judge, at this line of demarcation, those payments have been deemed illegal. It starts now. What I thought, and doing my research as a CPA, obviously there are two sides to this, which is why it ended up in court. So, you know, I did the best I could. I didn't know if they were illegal. I didn't know if I was interpreting the statutes right. I felt pretty right. I felt very comfortable. But the judge has ruled. At this point, if I am to make additional payments, I would have knowingly made those payments, and you can now hold me accountable going forward.
Right.
So, you know, if you're hearing that, just, you know, check that source. They're not real bright. They don't understand it. Maybe it's just emotional for them. I don't know.
Well, we have a fair number of emotional, obtuse, not too bright people. And I appreciate you saying so always.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I get it.
I'm just frustrated.
No, I know. And I mean, Trust me, I understand. Well, Pam, we just got, seriously, while I'm talking to you, got a couple of more texts in saying they appreciate you. Pam, cheerleader emojis, and then thank you so much for your hard work, Pam. Pam Childers is the clerk of the court and the comptroller for Escambia County. I appreciate you. I know we don't have you on all that often, but when we do, it is always enlightening, and I definitely learned stuff today. So thank you for doing the job that you've been doing, and I appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sure. Bye-bye.
And I do. I try most of the time to be as not obtuse as I possibly can. I'm acute. No. Sorry. It's a math nerd joke. I apologize completely. 554 on news. Somebody chuckled. Somebody somewhere chuckled. 554 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got a home you're thinking about selling, you want somebody who's going to really understand the best possible way to present that, stage that, photograph it, list it, how to time up things like the open house to get your best results. That's Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. I mean, they have a just, it's amazing the process that they have come up with that selling homes works so well. Last year, they sold 175 homes, 3.5 a week, which is amazing. But also figuring out how to do it in the way that gets the best possible result. Now, the flip side of that is if you're buying, they're fantastic to have on your side because they know the selling side so well that they know exactly what homes are going to go for. They know exactly, you know, what they can and cannot ask for, what kind of deals they might be able to manipulate or not, especially with new build. That's something that they can actually do with you. So whether you are buying or selling, or as often happens, both, give her a call and talk to her and see what she can do for you. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KellyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
A-R-G-O-S, Argos! Go Argos!
Go Argos! Yeah!
This is Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. UWF will be celebrating Founders Week from April 15th to April 19th, and we invite our alumni and community members to celebrate along with us. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel to hear from UWF President Martha Saunders about all of the fun activities going on around Founders Week and the exciting ways you can get involved. That's Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Run to the light, Caroline! Run as fast as you can!
No, honey, no.
No, it's a lie! Run to the light, baby! Mommy is in the light!
Waiting for my chance to play Fifth Dimension. Don't get a lot of opportunity. That's some good stuff. David, I got about 30 seconds. What can you tell me about what's going on in the news, sir?
Well, an arrest has been made in connection with an arson fire set at Bernie Sanders' office in Burlington, Vermont. A 35-year-old California man was arrested over the weekend. Apparently, his fire that he set caused damage, but nobody was hurt.
I like Bernie Sanders, though. It's kind of a mix-up of his name and his position, so you only have to remember the one word. I like it, yeah.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.